could grab a copy of God's word and turn over to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. We will be looking at verses 13 through 15. Amen. Joshua, chapter 5. Verses 13 through 15. And this is an interesting text. If we were to measure it simply by its word count, it would be a short text. But after we look into its context, we will see that it's a very long text. Amen. So as you turn there, I'm going to breathe a word of prayer and we will get into our message for today. Heavenly Father, you are worthy to be praised. Lord God, we come here to worship you. And so, Lord, it's our heart's desire and heart's delight to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, we're asking right now that you would bless this time, that you would bless your servant, that you would bless these, your people, dear God, that we would be edified and that you would be glorified. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak and that you would move. And if there's someone here today, dear God, that might need conversion, we pray that you would do that. If there's someone here amongst us, Lord God, who might need some comfort, we pray that by your word and by your spirit, you would do that as well. And Lord God, if there is one of us that has been stumbling, that has been falling off of your path, we pray that there would be conviction to serve you all the days of their life. But we know that you're able to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, but all we can ever ask for. So we ask your blessing upon this time, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15 reads as this. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the ground and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And just for a little extra flavor and context, we're going to read into chapter 6. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." God's word is already blessed, amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's a story shared by the late Dr. Vernon Browns. He's a renowned theologian, and he's a former chancellor of the seminary. And he recalls a pivotal event in his life that happened when he was a young student while attending seminary. And so his school at the time didn't have a gym, and he and his friends would love to play basketball. And so they would go down the street, and they would often play at a public high school outdoors. And at this high school, there would always be an elderly janitor sitting there near courtside reading his Bible. And one day, Dr. Vernon's friend asked, "What is it that you read?" And the elderly gentleman, the janitor, responded, "Book of Revelation." And these are seminary students now, delving in deep into God's word, into God's truths. And so, surprised, the friend asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man quietly answered, "Oh, yes, I understand." And he said, "Well, what does the book of Revelation mean?" And the man looked, and he answered. He says, "In the end, Jesus is going to win. In the end, Jesus is going to win." And Dr. Browns, who has his PhD now in theology, he served as a chancellor again in a seminary, and he spoke internationally. He wrote many books, but what he says about this man and this statement, he says, "That was the best commentary I have ever heard in my life. Jesus is going to win. And my question for you today, saints, is do you know that in the end, Jesus is going to win? That the war is already won? That there's already victory? And the question I want us to meditate upon today and spend our time upon is, do we then live like Jesus has won? Do we live like there is victory in Jesus? That's the question of the hour. Do we live in light of victory? And so this morning, saints, I want us to consider this wonderful account in Joshua, because Joshua is someone, as you all know, who lived in light of victory. That before, saints, he ever entered into Jericho, victory was his. God had already promised it, and so he just had to simply walk in that. So he was living in light of victory. That's what I want to take for our title today, living in light of victory. How do we do that, saints? How do we live knowing that the battle has already been won? As normal, we will lift up 3 points or 3 primary observations, which our text will fall under. And we'll take those one by one. First, we're told in verse 13 that the night before this great conflict at Jericho, Joshua, he breaks away from the people and he's on the hilltop overlooking the city. And it's quite possible that he's doing some reconnaissance work. He's looking to see and to try to find a way. How is he going to best lead the people? How are they going to attack this seemingly impenetrable city? Another thought is that Joshua could be reminiscing, because Joshua currently now is older in age, and he is perhaps retracing his footsteps about 40 years prior. You all recall the account where the Lord sent 12 spies into this promised land to survey the land. And Joshua was one of the 2 spies who brought back the good report. And so this is not the first time he's been there, but it's the first time he's there in quite some time. And he's perhaps wondering, how can we avoid the failures of yesterday? How can we avoid the failures of yesterday and live in light of victory today? But then we go on to read in 13, it says this. It says, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now, since we don't know much about this mystery man at this time, but we are told that he has a sword drawn in his hand. And the fact that he had a sword drawn, unsheathed, meant that he was a man ready for battle. And saints, this brings us to our first heading, living in light of victory. Number one, let us remember God's promises. Living in light of victory, we are to always recall and remember God's promises. We're going to see that in this text. After the death of Moses, the Lord made a series of promises to Joshua, one of which was, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Then the Lord goes on. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then God proceeds to exhort his servant Joshua, this new leader, this younger leader. He says, be strong and courageous. Based on those promises, you are to be strong and courageous. So, in an act of faith, our text proceeds to tell us, Joshua went to him. He went to him and asked, are you for us or are you against us? And notice that Joshua looked with his eyes and went toward and confronted this man. And beloved, the first observation I want us to consider is that faith in God looks like something. Faith in God looks like something. This was a volatile situation. Joshua perhaps is 80 plus years old at this time, so he's not a spring chicken, beloved. He is a warrior, but he's a little old. And our text does not say that Joshua stepped back. Our text here today does not say that Joshua went home and prayed about it. Beloved, nothing wrong with prayer. Nothing wrong with praying about situations. But there is a time for prayer and a time for holy activity. There's a time for action. There's a time that faith needs to be put into gear. Beloved, prayer is never to be used to neglect a known duty. When God has made something clear, we ought to believe that and we ought to walk in that, even if the situation seems unclear. You can pray as you go. But he looked and he saw and he stepped. He believed the promise and remembered the promise of God that no man shall be able to stand before him. Saints, our response to divine appointments, they cannot conceal our faith, but they can reveal our faith. They can see if our faith is truly in the promises of God. They can reveal what we truly believe. And so my question is, does our faith in God compel us to move forward even when the situation is unclear? Even when the situation, saints, is scary or volatile, or we're not sure how things are going to turn out. Joshua asks, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Text doesn't tell us that Joshua pulled out his sword. So he steps to this man, knowing that he had the victory, and asks this question. Joshua's a bad dude. And he wants to really know, are you friend or are you foe? Because if you are foe, then we have to dance. And see, walking, saints, by faith and not by sight is what Joshua did. Because sight would have told him to recoil and to fall back, but he dared to follow and trust God. There's a story about two little girls who were best friends, and they were out one day playing and one day counting their pennies. And one said, I have 5 pennies. And the other one smiled and said, well, I have 10. No, said the first little girl, you have 5 cents. I can count that. And the second girl quickly replied, but my father promised that when he got home, he would give me 5 more pennies. And so I have 10. And see, saints, that child's confidence in her father's promise allowed her to believe that what she had not already had was already hers. What she had not currently possessed in her hand was possessed by her at that time. And saints, I know the Father. I know the God who makes promises that he will not leave us nor forsake us. That he is there with us, that he will go before us, that he would prepare us, that he would use us, and we must walk and remember those promises. Our second heading, dear saints, we want to remember God's promises, but also, we'll see here in this text, we must recognize his presence. We must recognize his presence. The question again asks, are you for us or against us? To which the man answers, it's a strange answer, it seems, but he just simply says no. Your translation might say neither. The King James Version says nay. We're going to deal with that answer in just one moment, but let's first deal with who this mystery man is. The text goes on to say, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. Look at Joshua's response. Then Joshua fell on his face to the earth in worship and said, what does my Lord have to say to this servant? One commentator said, now the situation flashes upon Joshua that this soldier, this man, is none other than Christ the Lord. He's the one who visited Hagar and her son when they were facing certain death in the wilderness. That's him. He's the same one who came to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre and pronounced promises and judgment. He's the same one who wrestled with Jacob at the banks of the Jordan, this very Jordan which they are crossing at Peniel, where Jacob said, I have seen the Lord face to face, and yet he spared my life. Notice that in this most pivotal time, in this most crucial hour of Joshua's life, God showed up. Well, I have a witness on that, but I don't. Maybe they do on Zoom or Facebook or YouTube. Let me talk to y'all. In the most pivotal time of his life, of his leadership, of his faithfulness, God showed up.
There you go. Talk to him.
Not only does God show up, saints. That's good news, and we're going to come to that. God shows up. The Lord Jesus shows up ready for the occasion at hand. He has a sword. There's a war. Saints, you might be in a battle with, and you need to know that Jesus is going to show up, and he is with you, and he's ready for that battle. As somebody might be struggling and needing some comfort, and saints, you must know that God's not going to bring a sword. He's going to have comfort. Someone may be falling off the tracks, and so God, therefore, is searching for you. He is looking for you, and he's like the father who ran and kissed his son and fell upon his son and said, my son who was dead is now alive. That's the wonder of God. We don't have an enemy of Jericho. But we know, saints, that there are three common enemies that the Christian and the church faces today. The internal enemy, which is called the flesh. The external enemy, which is called the world. And the infernal enemy, which is called the devil himself. And we all need for God to be with us in order to fight with us. So you see that this was an illustrious meeting. This was a face-off between the first and second Joshua. This was Christ in the shadow. If Joshua were to look to his side and the moonlight would hit this Lord, he would not have seen a shadow of a man. He would have seen a cross. Joshua and the greater Joshua, face to face, says, now I have. And saints, we must never lose the splendor of the presence of God. We must recognize the presence of God, and we must never lose the splendor of the presence of God, because this is good news, saints, because even though we can't attain and head up to heaven, thank God that he can come down to us. Thank God that he reaches down to where we are. That he lives with us, that he dwells with us, that he walks with us. And this very God will one day come and be born, and he really lived and he really died, and saints, he really rose. And saints, he really ascended, and hope you know that he's really coming back again. That's this same God. Yes, Joshua was in the old covenant. We're in the new covenant, but it's the same God. He was a new leader for a new generation, but he served the same God. We must recognize his presence, and knowing that special circumstances requires God's special grace. It doesn't always promise. It doesn't always feel like it. The promise isn't that it would always feel like God is with us, but we must know that he is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. God's promises are yes and amen. And he's our ever-present help in time of need. So let's come back to the stranger's, the Lord's strange reply to Joshua's question. Let's deal with that. He just simply says, no. Are you for Israel? Are you for our enemies? No. That kind of frustrates me. I don't know about you sometimes. When you ask somebody, it's called a non sequitur. When you ask somebody a question and they respond, not in the right logic of what you asked. It's like, that's not what I asked you though, right? And so Joshua is probably getting ready to say, okay, we gotta fight now. She's trying to be funny. So the Lord is doing something here interesting in this text that he also does in John chapter 3. You might recall when Nicodemus approaches Jesus, he says, I know that you are a teacher coming from God. How do you do these miracles? And Jesus responds, unless one is born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, that's not what I asked. Right? So this is perhaps the MO of the Lord who searches and who knows what must be said for that particular occasion. And so, in other words, the Lord is saying, I'm not for Israel. And I'm not for Jericho. I'm not for you, and I'm not for them. But see, the point seems to be that the better question is whether or not God is for us, is whether or not we are for God. Right. See, saints, this text is not so much about Joshua as it is about God. We must be for God. We must be in his kingdom. We must turn aside as Joshua has the tables turned upon him. And the most important question at that moment was, hey, what side are you on? And saints, the question must be put before you. What side are you on? It's not whether or not God comes to our plans, that God joins up with us, that God does what we want him to do. It's that, no, we submit our lives and our wills to what he wants us to do. God is not a Democrat or a Republican. God is not for these things that we place upon God and think that if God doesn't fit into these binaries that fallible man's mind have created, therefore he's not God. No, that's a fool. One person said that in the beginning, God created us in his image and we've been paying him back ever since. We've been trying to create God in our image ever since. And that's a dangerous thing, though. One person, Andrew Murray, he says that God has a plan for his church upon earth, but alas, we too often make our plan and then we think we know what ought to be done. We ask God first to bless our feeble efforts instead of absolutely refusing to go unless God goes before us. We must recognize his presence. Recognize his presence. Lastly, our last point, saints. Living in light of victory. So the victory that we have in Jesus, let us rest in his plans. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to trust his promises. We're going to recognize his presence. We're also going to trust and rest and surrender to his plans. Our text tells us that in response to God's grace, his presence, Joshua surrenders. It says that Joshua fell to the ground and worshiped, which means he had reverence for. And then he asked a most wonderful and instructive question. He says, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord says, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. Joshua did so. Pastor in the church in New York, Rich Velotis, has a book called The Deeply Formed Life, and he has a quote in here I wanted to share with you. It says, the story of Scripture is not really about human performance so much as it is about how God has performed over and over and over again for his people. The good news for all of us is that God cares for you, that God loves you, and that's not based upon how you and I perform. And let me restate that. Got it one amen over here, maybe on Zoom. God's care for you, saints, is not rooted in what you do or your abilities, nor does he define you by some of your failures and insecurities, but God's love is rooted in his grace.
Amen.
It's apart from works. Stop working and start resting. Rest in what God has already done. And that's having the victory. Stop worrying and start resting. Grace that God gives us, saints, is meant to inform us. So we see that here in this text, he reveals himself, but he reveals himself so that we can not only be informed, but transformed and ultimately conformed into the image of Christ. That's the purpose of his great grace. And Joshua was not called to work. You see that clearly, but he's called to surrender. He's called to rest. He's called to abide in. He's called to hold to. He's called to dwell with the one who has victory in his hands. And beloved, some of us need to be called to surrender. Many of us need to be called to stop working. We live in a world where it just says work, work, work. I think Rihanna has a song like that. Sorry. The world says work and the world says rest. The world says you have what it takes, but the Lord says that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Beloved, before there can be salvation and deliverance in Jericho, there must be surrender and rest in Joshua. If you're wondering whether or not you are thinking, whether or not you are resting, whether you have surrendered your life, I want you to just consider two quick attributes, and we'll get ready to come to a close. The person first who is resting in Christ, we see here in the text, is humble. A person who is resting in Christ is humble. It says, he bowed and worshiped and sat at the feet of Jesus. One person said that humility is a right estimation of oneself in light of who God is. Someone else said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's just thinking of yourself less. The old paradox, the Puritan paradox, says the way up is down. And whoever exalts himself, Christ says, will be humble, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Beloved, are you humble? Are you living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Lord, tell me what you would have me to do, and it will be done. Amen. Secondly, a person who is resting, another attribute we see here, a person who is resting in Christ is not only humble, but they're whole. You see that he's told to take off his shoes. For where he is standing is holy ground. Does that sound familiar? It should remind us of the encounter with Moses in Exodus 3. The Lord met Moses in the burning bush, and he meets Joshua and says the very same thing. And so, friends, being in the presence of God, someone who is resting in God must be consecrated to God. Wherever the Lord is, that place is called holy ground. It's interesting because you could be in Jericho and still be in holy ground. You could be in the land of Egypt and it still be holy ground. Wherever God is, that place, saints, is holy ground. Because the good news of the gospel and the testament of God is that this very same God who once dwelled in a tent in the wilderness and then dwelt in a tabernacle and then dwelt in a temple built by King Solomon came down to earth. He tabernacled amongst us. That's what John says. John chapter 1, that he came and he dwelt. That word dwelt is tabernacle. So he lived amongst us. Not only that, when he died and rose, he has given us his spirit. So not only does he not dwell in a tabernacle or in a physical location, he dwells with his saints. Wherever you are, saints, that's holy ground. You go to the grocery store, that's holy ground. You go to the gas station. Sometimes I don't want to go to the gas station, but that's holy ground too. Because God is where we are. We must make sure we are resting in the person and work of God. Very last thing, I promise, and this came to me this morning, chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. You know the rest of the story about Jericho, so you can read it when you get one. It says, Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. It was already a done deal. And with its king and mighty men of valor, you shall march around this city. All the men of war going around the city at once. Here's what I want to kind of just share with you. I want you to consider the order. I want you to consider the order at which God's plans unfold. God reveals his plans to Joshua after Joshua is surrendered and not a moment before.
Amen.
We want to know what God is doing and how he's going to use us. Have you surrendered? Not only did that come after that portion, but holiness and humility came before his plans were revealed. We want to know God's plans. We want to know his ways. We want to know him more. But are you holy and are you humble? There's a right order which God delights. He wants to share his plans to us. He has wonderful plans for your life. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. That's what the Bible says, and that's a double adverb. I love the double adverbs because that means double blessing. Are you resting in Christ? Have you considered his work? Have you dwelled with him? Have you meditated upon him and his promises? And have you claimed them, and are you walking in them? Andrew Murray asked again, he has a book called Surrender, so I had to read that. He says, why isn't there more blessings? And I thought, that's a good question. Why isn't there more blessings? And he says, there can only be one answer. We have not honored the Holy Spirit of God as we have ought to. Is there anyone who can honestly say that we have? Every thought and sincere heart should be ready to cry out, God, forgive me that I have not honored the Spirit as I should have done. We wonder why there is not blessings that God has promised. God is looking for the servant who is resting, who is humble, and who is holy, consecrated to him. Saying someone leave you off on a positive note, not a negative note, but you will call that old hymn that goes, there's victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. What's that last word said? Or its last verse say? It says, victory today is mine. Beloved saints, if you are in Christ, I want to remind you that victory today is yours. Remember his promises. Recognize his presence. And rest in his work that he has accomplished on our behalf. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your name and we thank you. Lord God, we love you and we honor you. And we ask that you would help us, Lord God, to see your face. We ask that you would help us be holy. We ask that you would help show us those areas of our lives that we need to perform. David said, dear God, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us that we will follow you all the days of our life. So Lord, bless these your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.